Let's start the insanity. Giddy up.
New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
Well, that was an interesting game. Welcome to the APC Podcast Rapid Recap Edition. I am your substitute host, Tex Western, filling in for Zach Rapport tonight, who was otherwise indisposed, and talking about the Packers' frustrating, disappointing, stupid loss, 34-31 to the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium in overtime. And joined tonight by my good friend, Matt, but you can call him a tub. Matt, how you holding up?
I'm doing okay. I bet the line on this game. So,
which was Colts minus two, I believe.
Colts minus two. I also bet the over.
So. There you go. Yeah, I had picked the Colts this week too. And it was one of those games where I just weird, stupid things happen at Lucas Oil. And that certainly was the case tonight. Four turnovers for the Packers,
yeah,
including an absolute backbreaker from Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who, to his credit, set up the tying field goal at the end of regulation with his 47-yard bomb down to midfield, and then promptly gives the ball away with a really careless, sloppy fumble on the first drive of overtime.
Even, I think it was Aikman called him out. He's like, he didn't really get a lot of the ball there.
Yeah, it almost looked to me at first like Robert Tonyan, who was out blocking for MVS, might have even gotten a piece of it. I think they credited it to Julian Blackman, the Colts safety. But
yeah,
just weird ball security stuff. Another strange interception from Aaron Rodgers. Three fumbles. And just, you know, craziness all around that kind of seems to be what happens to Wisconsin teams when they play at Lucas Oil Stadium. And, frankly, I'm sick of it.
College reference that I'm not getting.
There've been multiple issues with the Badgers in Lucas Oil in Big Ten championship games, as well as the basketball team, which played Duke in the national championship game in 2015 at Lucas Oil. So yeah, there's. And then the 2012 game, too, Packers-Colts game, which was a weird one where Mason Crosby missed a couple of strange field goals there. So
yeah, someone in the in the APC Discord mentioned, oh, yeah, Crosby's money inside Lucas Oil.
Yeah, it's a rough one. But honestly, early on in the first half, things looked like they were, even despite the turnovers, going pretty well. Packers went into halftime up 28-14. You know, they were getting some of the deep balls going early. I think that was something that our good buddy Paul Noonan had discussed on the blog this week on Acme Packing Company, that was one area where the Colts defense was susceptible, was to the deep ball.
Yeah, there was.
And first play
was Devontae on a nine, or on a fade, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, they got some explosive plays there, but then, you know, the second half, just the offense bogged down. What the hell happened out there?
I don't even know. Like, honestly, the second half was so long that I was struggling to follow. Like, yeah. the game went on for 3.5 hours. Like I don't have that kind of attention span. I was also, well, I was busy tweeting about JK Scott. So,
I'm
going to be probably alone in my island this week defending JK Scott and thinking that Rodgers played a trash game.
So the second half was just a mess. I mean, at one point, I think the Colts had the Packers outsnapped in the second half, like 35-6.
35-6.
Ridiculous.
I think the Packers only had six plays in the third quarter.
Yeah, they had the 2-3 and outs and then the fumble on the kick return by Darius Shepherd.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that checks out. Just again, weird, bizarre game. Second half offense just kind of fell apart. The short yardage play calling yet again, kind of coming through with some weird play calls. There's a couple of fourth and ones, the one in the fourth quarter, I think.
I don't know how you choose to throw to your slowest running back in the flat on fourth and inches.
Well, and even if, you know, he had Williams a little bit, right? I mean, if he drops that ball in a little bit tighter, he's got him. If Rodgers makes a good throw, but he lofts it a little too much, puts too much air under it, and just leads him way too far, and he had no chance. Yep. So.
And Rodgers also had the issues with the MVS throwing him short on the cover two beater. He was doing his 2015 Rodgers happy feet, you know, shenanigans, not stepping into throws, just was kind of inaccurate. And then of course he has the random magical miracle balls where he drops it on a dime. In the words of Brett Favre, he lands it like a butterfly with sore feet from 50 yards out. But then,
well, and that was a tremendous throw and a tremendous catch. But yeah, I mean, it just wasn't there throughout on a consistent basis.
Yeah. So Rodgers had a great game highlight wise, but he didn't do the little things well, and that's what kind of bit him. But I got to talk about J.K. Scott because this is going to be my brand from now on. everyone is really trashing on J.K. Scott, saying that he's shanking punts. I don't think any of his punts today were shanks. Every single one of them went where he wanted it to. They just didn't go very far. And a year ago next week, J.K. Scott admitted that Sean Menenga had him change his kicking mechanics, and that's why he was shanking balls at the beginning of the season last year. And he went back to what he normally does, and everything was fine. I would bet quite a lot of money that this game was Menenga's response to JK outkicking his coverage last week and saying,
the punt return against Jacksonville. Right?
Yes. And so saying, I don't want you to kick it too far, kick it high, kick it short. And cause there were multiple punts where he was punting nose down, which I learned from Pat McAfee is if you're punting nose down, your plan is to kick it as high as humanly possible.
Gotcha. Yeah. So maximize the hang time and the Colts do have a pretty talented punt returner in Nyheim Hines. So you can understand if that's the, you know, part of the thought process.
Yeah. But I also want to remind everyone that Sean Menenga was the assistant special teams coordinator under Mike Pettine as the head coach of the Browns. So they know each other, and so they can probably help each other find new jobs after they're both fired this week.
Yeah, that's a good segue to the defense, which certainly they got put in some ugly spots in the second half with, again, those 2-3 and outs and the fumble. But that there's going to be a lot of takes flying around about Pettine yet again after this game.
I mean, and rightfully so. It's not like
oh, yeah. No, I don't mean to say that to suggest that they are unfounded. Let me just be clear on that. I think that the complaints about him and his defense and his scheme are entirely valid. I think perhaps the biggest offensive play in my mind was that 3rd and 20 during the whole penalty fest late in the game when, you know, he has his DBs play 20 yards off basically at the first down marker. And they, you know, the Colts pick up 15, 16 yards on a screen pass to, I think, to Jonathan Taylor.
Before the play, I turned to my wife. I said, they're going to throw a screen pass here and they're going to flirt with a first down. And that is exactly what happened. They were they got 17 yards on 3rd and 20. And she's like, how did you do that?
It's like, you've watched Mike Pettine defenses for almost 3 years now.
Yep. I knew exactly what I was like, he's going to run into a wall of players like a yard short of the first down. And sure enough, he gets met by four DBs, you know, 3 or 4 yards short. I think Jair is going to get a lot of crap for the fourth down. But I mean,
I don't blame him at all. No. I mean, that was a nice rub route on that side of the field. I mean, that's exactly what, you know, that is the offense scheming a guy open. And I'm with you there. I don't think he necessarily is at fault there. Yeah. So I think that's just a good play design from Frank Reich.
And I honestly think if there weren't so many Herculean effort, individual efforts on the defense, this game would have gotten even more out of hand. I mean, Gary was very good in the first half. Jair was great the whole game. Like if Raven Green, if you don't have those individual guys playing out of their minds, then this game would have gotten ugly as opposed to weird.
Yeah, there were a lot of really impressive individual plays there. I mean, I also was noticing that it seemed like, as has been the case a lot this year, the pressure from the pass rush was getting there, but it just was never able to get home. Mm-hmm. And against a guy like Phillip Rivers, you have to get to him because, you know, just getting hurries on him and moving him off his spot a little bit isn't going to be enough to rattle him.
Sure.
Or to make him throw a bad ball here and there. So you've got to get home and get some hits on him and bring him to the ground. Otherwise, he's going to find, you know, the soft spots in the zone. And that's what he did at a couple times, especially on third downs in this game.
And shout outs to Rivers for getting a, oh my God, Kenny Clark hit him so hard. Mm. I'm pretty sure all 18 of his kids felt it. And the fact that he got up and continued to play after that and play very well. And yep. It's, I don't know. Rivers is just, I think, okay, I've long said this. I think Rivers is the best quarterback out of his draft class, and he's the least likely to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because that was the Eli, the Big Ben. Was there another one in there? I mean, those were the
three. Those are the three that everyone remembers. Yeah. And the other ones have rings and Rivers doesn't. Honestly, if the Giants don't trade Rivers for Eli, then they probably win three Super Bowls, but that's just me.
Yeah. But I mean, again, on the defense, there were still plays left out there to be made.
Oh,
right.
Sure.
There was the one, the tipped ball that kind of lands in no man's land again. How many times can this defense see a ball fly about 15 feet up in the air and it just flutter harmlessly to the turf?
I don't know. If nobody gets, if someone on the defense could track a fluttering ball, we'd probably have better punt returns.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was painful. There's just so many missed opportunities, I think. And again, I mean, the Colts tried to, you know, they did everything in their power late in that game in that fourth quarter, on offense to give the Packers a chance to get back in the game with a late drive.
Yeah.
Cause I think there was what, it was it like nine straight plays, it seemed like, where there was a penalty called, or like seven out of nine plays.
Dude, I have like no idea. I was busy making jokes about Joe Buck, top of the 47th. Like, it's third and 47, another flag.
But I mean, they were legitimate flags too. I mean, every one of those holding calls that they were calling on Indy was a legitimate penalty. I joked that, it was like the strategy of the old Seahawks defense where they would just clutch and grab and dare the refs to call it. Only in this case, the refs were calling everything.
Yep.
So,
well, I think part of it is, the players really got into the refs' ears this game. I felt like, you would see something get complained about and then you would see it get called a whole bunch. Like Za'Darius very often lines up right on the line of what you would call offsides. And the refs were calling it. Like, and it's the first time all season I've seen people consistently seeing Z, or at least watching him for it. And someone must have been complaining about it. Just like, I bet you that someone was complaining about Quentin Nelson holding. Like, and so they were watching for it.
Yep. Yeah. No, it makes sense. So it just, again, frustrating finish to the game. I think I read somewhere too that the Packers hadn't won a coin toss before overtime since like week four. So shout out to Tim Boyle for going out and actually winning the coin toss in overtime.
Tails never fails.
Did any good. But so we had, let's see, Rodgers finished the day 27 of 38 for 311, three scores and a pick. Adams with seven catches for 106 and a touchdown. Adams was big on that last drive too.
Yes. And he was quiet a couple second of nice half catches. Up until then.
Yeah. Yep. So that was a good day. I mean, Big Bob with another touchdown early on in the game. He had a couple of nice catches.
Apparently he was, he was open on the last drive. People were screaming about it. I did not see it.
I think, it was the third down play. The second to last play before the field goal to tie the game at the end of regulation. And, Rodgers had kind of locked in on Adams on that one side and didn't see Tonyan on the far side of the field. So that's, that's disappointing. I mean, but, Adams is his guy, obviously. And he was clearly locked in on that one. So
I apologize if I have background noise. My daughter seems to have found her bubble car that pops when she rides on it. So that's going on behind me.
Yeah. Well, if we all could have the innocence of a small child playing with her bubble car instead of having to deal with frustrating games like this. Hey. But fundamentally, I mean, the Colts are a good team. They are a very good team.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Indies. The 7-2 Packers just lost a game to the, was it 7-3 Colts?
7-3 now. Yeah, yeah. They were 6-3 coming in.
So, like, also, the Packers were the road dogs. This, like, the result is everything I expected, but the path to get to the result was completely unexpected.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to sum up this this colossal cluster of a game. So
remember, I in our game thread, literally, I don't know, like after the first bout of randomness, I said, like, good thing we're getting the meltdown out early, so I won't have hope at the end. And then and then, like, the Packers came back and were way ahead and everything was hunky dory, and then it wasn't. So yeah, like I should have gone with my gut. I was way too invested in this game when I knew a week ago I shouldn't be invested in it.
Yeah, I swear that, you know, Northwestern Stadium and Lucas Oil Stadium must have been built on Indian burial grounds or something, because weird things always seem to happen there. So, well, next week, Packers welcome in the Bears for Sunday Night Football following Thanksgiving. So, we will hopefully have Zach and company back this week to preview that, and then following the game Sunday night next weekend. Any closing thoughts from you, Matt, on this weirdness that we observed this afternoon?
Hashtag JK did nothing wrong. let's get that trending. But no, the only thing is we did not go over our post-game drinks. What are you drinking today, Mr. Western?
Oh, yeah. I am finishing off with a Land-Grant, which is a local Columbus, Ohio brewery. It is their Sweater Vibes, which is a fall apple cinnamon English ale.
Oh, that sounds just lovely.
It is very, very tasty.
So, as is tradition, I drink whiskey after a win, and I don't after a loss. During our podcast, I just finished a Barry LaCroix. It was very refreshing.
There you go. Good stuff. All right. Well, keep it here. Join us at acmepackingcompany.com, at the APC pod on Twitter. I'm at Tex Western, and he is at Call Me Matub. Filling in for Zach Rapport. This is Tex signing off. And yeah, go Pack, go.